It is time to get started this evening, and so let's have a word of prayer, and we will get started. Lord, we thank you for the day that you have given us, the blessing of watching over us and taking care of us, and we thank you for the way that you're just always blessing us, and so we want to give you that praise tonight. We thank you for the opportunities to get together as a body, as believers, to study your word. And as we study tonight, I pray that you'd speak to each of us. Lord, either sharing something new with us that we haven't thought of, or maybe confirming something that we have. But Lord, we want to hear your voice speak to us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. To kind of get started, I want you to think of somebody that you would say would be the epitome of someone. You say, if I asked you to name someone that had someone of a strong faith, who comes to mind? You don't have to tell me the name, but just think of somebody that you would say, boy, now that person is a strong person of faith. All right? Give you a second to do that. And again, I'm not going to ask you to tell me who that person is, but I want you to think about who it might be. And then the follow-up question is simply this. Why'd you pick them? Again, what when you started thinking about, you know, a person of faith, why'd you pick them? Now, I am going to ask you that question and get feedback, because it's interesting to see what we consider when we start talking about being, you know, a person of faith and faithfulness. What comes to mind? What comes to mind? Okay, someone that praises God no matter what. In other words, so whoever you thought of obviously has been a Christian a long time, because you've seen them in thick and thin. You've seen it when it's good, but you've also seen it when it's bad, and they're the type of people that's going to continue to praise God even in the rough times. All right? Okay. Somebody else. Okay, someone then that is always out front with their beliefs or their talking to people about Christ or at least sharing their okay. All right.
Somebody that is humble, compassionate, and just has the love of the Lord.
Okay, someone that's humble, compassionate, and love of the Lord. And, okay. Anybody else?
Someone who's ready to stand up for Christ even when it may mean he's going to be persecuted and put down and rejected.
Okay. So your person of faith may or may not have been from America then, because we don't usually have that sort of thing. Interesting.
We do.
Well, we do some. It's not like it's certainly not like it is in other places, but yeah, I mean, people do lie about you. I know that for a fact. Been through that, but you know, that without fact. It does hurt, without doubt. All right. Okay. Somebody else? Okay. Can you give, even when you see their faith daily, how does that, what are you seeing? If you can share it without giving away who it is.
Positive and always finding, I guess, the best in each situation, no matter how dark or deep.
Okay. Good. So you're getting the idea, right? Faith is something you see. It's not just accepting a set of premises. Now, faith involves knowledge, I believe. In fact, the more I know about God, I hope the more that it certainly plays out and is an element of my faith, but it's more than simply knowing things about God. It's faith is always going to be visible. In fact, the stronger a person of faith is, it's, you know, every one of you said that identified things that people were doing. It wasn't, you know, and I think that's always going to be true. And what we're going to look at tonight, and we are going back to the book of James, and he's going to, in this passage, we're going to at least get an idea of what James thinks about faith. And I think in a lot of ways what James does is he's going to define what he believes faith will always look like. And it is always going to be visible for James. Now, when we read through this, there are some people out there that see that some of the things that James had to say about faith almost, at least for some people, contradict some of the things that Paul had to say about faith and about works. And so we're going to look at what James has to say, and then we'll see if there really is a contradiction or whether there isn't. But what we're going to find, at least from James' perspective, is that faith is something that is always going to not only be visible, but it is going to make an effect or affect the way that we live out our lives. And so faith is always visible. All right, second chapter, verse 14. He starts out with, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." And that's the verse that gets a lot of people going, all right? Because Paul's going to say you're saved by faith alone. Anyway, "in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in another direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." All right. And what we've said up to this point continues to be. James is really, I don't think James is a hard book to understand. I mean, I think you can come to the book of James and you can walk away, you read it, and it's like, wow, it slaps you in the face, and it says what it says. And now you may have to grapple with it for a while. And you may struggle with some of the things that he says and trying to figure out exactly how it's supposed to play out in your life. But he sure just lays it right out there on the line, doesn't he? And for James, his definition of faith is simply this: true faith then is always going to affect the way that we live. In other words, it's more than what we say. Now, we need to say the right things, and I think faith is based on knowing the right things, but it's more than what we say. And his example is this: if you see somebody and they're naked and they're hungry, and you say, "Oh, hey man, I hope you have a great day," and you don't do anything to help them, he says, is there any value to that? And James is going to say, no, there is no value to that. It's more than simply saying something. In other words, you can't say you really care about someone and then turn around and do nothing when they're hurting and need somebody to take care of them. You can say it, but you don't mean it, is what James is saying. And he said, so you can say that you have faith, but if you don't do anything, if it doesn't change the way you respond to people, they said it's not real faith. And then he would say, it's not even just the knowledge part. And again, I've said knowledge is an aspect of it, but it's, for him, he said, look, even the demons understand there's only one God. And isn't that true? Even think back to the when we did that study on the Gospel of Mark, and it's been several years now. But one of the things when we went through Mark's Gospel is everybody was missing who Jesus was, right? And we call that the messianic secret. You know, nobody recognized Jesus for who he was, except the demons did. If you think back, every time you turn around, Jesus was telling them to be quiet because we know who you are. You're the Son of God. And Jesus, no, you know. And so they understood who he is. They had knowledge of who Jesus is, but it didn't equate to faith. So you can have knowledge. In fact, there's a lot of people that has a lot of biblical knowledge, but if that's all that it is, James is going to say that's not faith. In fact, James is real just absolutely blunt about it. Look at verse 17 again. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And then in verse 26, the last verse that we read, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. All right, so, and even in your definition of faith or your person of faith that you thought about, most everybody thought, that really fits the definition. You saw things in their lives that they were doing that led you to understand that they were a person of faith. Now, the scriptural, or what the, what James used as a scriptural reference, was he simply used Abraham. Now, did Abraham believe in God? Yes. But when the crunch time to Abraham's faith was not that he simply accepted that there is one God, and we're supposed to love him with all heart, mind, soul, right? He didn't just say, okay, I understand there is a God. The test of his faith came when God said, okay, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son that you love. I want you to take Isaac, you know, the one that you couldn't have until you were both well past, but I want you to take him. I want you to go sacrifice him to me. And for James, that's why Abraham is considered a man of faith, is because he not only knew God, he trusted God, but it affected the way that he lived. And then he uses the example of Rahab again, and we've made mention of her not too long ago. You know the story, the spies came, she hid the spies, sent them off another direction, protected them. And again, according to James, she was considered righteous or faithful because of what she did. All right. So, bottom line is, we can all talk about faith, but it comes down to how does it truly bear out in our lives? Now, I pointed out a verse, verse 24. It says, you see that a person then is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. And again, Martin Luther, which is the great reformer, great theologian, man, that verse really rubbed him wrong. Because he would go back and say, you know, that great passage in Ephesians, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about works, it's faith alone, it's grace alone. There's nothing you can do to earn it. And the truth is, we know that is absolutely scriptural. We know we can never earn salvation. We can't earn righteousness. But here's the thing. Once we're saved, a process begins within us. We call that process sanctification. And the process is what I believe James is referring to here. Okay? I think you could set Paul and James down in the same room. You could bring them into our sanctuary tonight if we could. And I don't think they would disagree. They would have a nice discussion about things. But I think what we find is Paul starting with salvation. We can't earn salvation. But James is saying, once you're saved, you can't just say you're saved. It shows. And if it doesn't show, if it doesn't change you, and it doesn't find its reflection in the way that you live, he's saying it's not really faith. You can't be a new creation and be the same person. It just isn't possible. So as we live out, our faith is reflected then in the things that we do. So Paul was starting at salvation in that Ephesian passage. Yes, you can't earn it, and there's nothing you can do it, but once you're saved, then it reflects. And even Paul, by the way, if you keep reading in Ephesians, the 10th verse says, we were created for God's workmanship. For there were things that he has in store for us to do. And so a friend of mine put it this way, and I thought this captured it well. Works do not save us, but works define us. Doesn't save us, but define us. You defined your person of great faith by the way they lived their lives. And I think that's always going to be true. I think action is simply the fruit of our faith. So faith is more than simply accepting a series of beliefs. Because the truth is, there's a lot of people that believe in God that are going to be in hell. They don't believe there's a God, but they don't generally have faith in that God. And that's the sad part. You got to act upon it. You got to pull an Abraham. You got to say, and I not only believe God can, I trust that God will, and somehow I'm going to follow him no matter what. So faith is validated by the way that we live. It shows up. In other words, if we were to take and say, okay, here's the thing. Who here believes that money and stuff is more important than God? Nobody? All right. But what if? What if you go around and say, you know, nothing is more important than God, and yet you don't tithe? And now I'm not making any judgment here. I'm not asking anybody to raise your hands for you. I'm just saying, if you say that God is more important than money, but you don't tithe and give God, you know, his due, then do you really have faith that God is more important? I mean, because Scripture's pretty clear about that. Or if we say how important it is for us to tell people about Jesus, to reach out, but we never, ever tell anybody about Jesus, James is going to say that's not faith. Because he said it's always reflected in the way. In other words, real faith must be acted out in our lives. I mean, what we believe. I used to say that faith is believing that God can, that's his power. Trusting that God will, and that's my idea of understanding how much that God loves us. I know that God can, I trust that God will, but I think according to James, I'd have to go one step further in the definitions and say, to the point, I trust that God will, to the point that I'm going to live my life differently. And if I never get to the point that I live my life differently, I don't really have faith. Again, James doesn't give us a lot of wiggle room. Now, you've thought of someone that you looked at their life and you said, wow, you know, they did it. They not only have this idea that they of who God is, but I mean, they've lived it out. The question is, are we living our lives so that if another group was asked and we given our names, would they consider us as part of that group? And that's the challenge to us, to go beyond simply the verbal aspect of it, but to truly put our lives out there day in and day out to the point where people say, man, that he or she, man, that's a person of faith. I mean, they're out there living it every single day. Because as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is always dead. Any thoughts or questions? Simple, but really, really powerful. Because I think this is where I believe sometimes in our definition of faith, we break it down, and a lot of people will come and assent. They'll say the right things, but they don't live the right things. And for James, he's going to say, that just doesn't cut it. And when we when we hold that this is the living word of God to us, then we've got to, we accept what James says to us, then we know that it's a matter of truly putting our lives out there. And that's a lot tougher. All right. If there's no other thoughts, easy lesson, powerful application. In fact, like I say, we go from faith, and this was an easy lesson, to the taming of the tongue, which is next week's lesson. Yeah. And I got to tell you, that's going to hurt. So, you know, if you need to be away next Wednesday night, I'll understand. All right, because it is going to hurt. Because if there's one thing that gets us all in trouble, it's typically, you know, because you can send out a text and say something and you don't even know what you've sent. You get yourself in trouble that way if you're not careful. So, anyway, having said that, James is going to deal with it. And he's going to even, you know, as a foreshadowing, what he says is, look, some people are praising God one second, cursing the next second. He said, that can't be. And if you apply that to what he just said about faith, he's going to say that person really doesn't have it, because he's going to say you can't get both, fresh water and salt water out of the same spring. Like I say. Anyway, all right. Once you get in groups of three tonight, we're going to do prayer time just a little more differently tonight. So get in groups of three real quick, and yes, it has to be three tonight. Has to be three tonight. Can't be four, can't be five, got to be three. Oh, come on, people, it's not that hard. Really, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. All right, let's count off so we can get in groups. It don't matter. If you need to have a mixed group, I think it'd be all right tonight. All right. Now, I want you to, all right, now next thing is, I didn't want to give you all the instructions at once, but now I want your groups to spread out because I don't want you to listen to each other. So, this group stay right here. Okay. This group go over there to the other side. This group here go in the middle right up here. Next group, you get to stay where you are. And the next group needs to go back in that corner over there. And you guys can stay where you're at. There we go. Take charge. I can see we were. All right. We are going to spend some time. I want us to take just a few topics. And there's going to be. I picked three topics for each group so that one person would pray about one thing. And then we'll stop after all the groups are finished praying. Then we'll take the next series of topics. But. The first one is, I think, wow, we need to simply, and the first one is nothing more than a praise. And that's for what God did through Bible school and the efforts that were put forward. I don't know about you, but when I get a list that has 11 names on it and said these children made decisions for Jesus, I think that's good. I think that's exciting, and I think we need to praise God for it. I know there was a lot of prayer that went into it. And sometimes what we do is we're real good about saying, God, we want, oh, please, please, please. But we never stop and say, thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. So let's praise God tonight for these 11 precious souls that experienced the gospel and said yes to it. All right? So one person in your group needs to have that prayer. The next person is, and this is a praise from my end, I asked you to pray that God would give me the words that I could speak in Spanish. I won't say that it went as good as I wanted it to, but several days later, several of the children came up to him and were repeating the main points of the message. So they did hear it, okay? And I'm telling you that it really, I know that God had to have a hand in that in order to pull that off because I was so rusty. So I asked you for prayer. You prayed for me. So praise God that God heard your prayer and that the message will still bear fruit. So that's another person in your group. The third person in your group needs to pray for the back to school bash that's going to be coming in a couple of months. Okay? We need to use that in a way that truly glorifies the Lord and shares His love with our community. And yes, God's a big God. I think we can dream big, and I think it can even be bigger than last year. And not only just sharing His love, but maybe even making the bridge of allowing people to know that we're here on Sundays as well. Okay, so a couple of praise prayers and then a request that we've got a couple of months to pull this thing together to truly reach out into our community. And so I want you to just spend whoever wants to, like I say, divide it up however you want, but start praying and praising. prayers. The second one, the second series of three is three again. I think we need to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Charleston and the witness that they're now having and the pain they're going through. And I really did Sunday when I said, Lord, if you can somehow take some of their pain and put it upon us, then help us bear their pain. So let's pray for them because they did the right things to start with, it's still going to be a difficult struggle for them. So we continue to pray for them. The second thing that I want you to pray for, and if you don't have someone that you want to mention and pray for, I've got a couple people on my mind that truly need to give their lives to the Lord. I don't want to give names tonight. So if you don't have anybody, but if you have somebody, then you share it with your, and feel comfortable in sharing with your group, then you share that person. But let's just pray that God's going to continue to call people to the gospel. There's a couple that really on my heart, and Lord knows who it is. And like I say, now, if you've got somebody in your group, then voice them and pray for them. So I need one person to pray for that, one person to pray for the Charleston community or church there. And the third person, I want you to pray for a couple named Olvin and Lily. They are at Faith Home. I was asked to spend some time with them and try to. She's the one that gave birth to a baby that died about a week after giving birth. And Olvin especially is truly, truly struggling. And really, it has been very hard on him. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for this couple. I told him that I would have you praying for him. And he is a broken man right now. He's angry. And I understand that. He doesn't understand, and I don't know. And I told him I don't understand why the baby died either. But I understand he's angry, and he's hurting. And so let's pray for Olvin and Lily tonight. So again, one person to pray for Olvin and Lily, one person to pray for the Charleston churches that are there, and then again, if you don't have someone that you know personally that you know needs a relationship with the Lord, then you pray for the two that's on my heart, that somehow that God will be able to speak to them this coming week and touch their lives. Let's pray. just a couple of more names for you to pray for tonight. And these are some physical needs that we have here in the church, and you may have others that you want to your group to pray for. But Charlton Coker had a heart cath today. They found a minor blockage, not enough to put a stent in. They're going to treat it with medication. He may be on his way home even as we speak, but we continue to pray for him. Saw Mr. Jim yesterday at rehab, and certainly he's working on it, but still got a ways to go. So let's remember him. I heard late this afternoon that Marion Dukes is back in the hospital. I saw he was in the hospital while I was away and had surgery. I thought he was home, but then I just heard he's back. So I don't know what's going on there, if somebody does. Okay. 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 And do we know what, is it McLeod's? That's where he was before.
He said he's in awful pain.
Okay. All right. So we need to remember.
He said he was doing a little bit better this afternoon. He was in as much pain as he was.
Okay. So let's certainly remember Marion in our prayers as well. And like I say, if there's others that you know personally you want your group to pray for, share them with your group. One of the things that James will tell us as we get towards the end is that when somebody is sick, you gather the church to pray for them because it makes a difference. And so our prayers do make a difference. So let's pray for at least for these three. And if you've got others, please share.